host, Matthew Long. You can get me at Matt Long Sports. This is To The Half. Today is April 7th, 2017. This is, we're getting closer to 20 episodes here, and hopefully we can get this podcast show up closer to a daily basis here before too long. But it's been great. Have good feedback from you guys, and I appreciate all the comments and stuff that that you leave over on social media. Also, if you're on YouTube, go down below, leave some comments and stuff down there. You'll see a little logo here towards the end of the show. Click on that to subscribe, or just anytime down below, you're always good. Hit subscribe. We have a couple different channels now. You can see us. Got a phone call. You got a couple different channels now on YouTube. You can get me directly at on YouTube at Matt Long Sports, or you can see this show on To The Half. Or I'm sorry, we don't have To The Half yet. Sorry, work on that. There's a list, there's a playlist for To The Half on The CHT on Sports. You can also head over to the website, thechtonsports.com, where you can hear all this show. You can hear all of the Cold Hard Truth on Sports radio show. That's every Tuesday from 8:30 to 11:30 with my co-host, Kevin Crest. You can hear over there, The Boxing Source, hosted by James Bell, every Sunday from 8:30 from 7:30 to 9:30 over there as well. And we have a plethora of articles and content and stuff over on the page that is just wonderful. So definitely head on over to thechtonsports.com. Check out the page, follow the page, bookmark the page, wrap the page up and give it as a gift. I don't know. Do whatever you do with pages. And even though the federal government will allow us to sell your browser history, we will not do that, because we just want you to come read our stuff. All right. Trying to keep it simple. So we got a good show for you today. The first segment, I'm going to go over the Tony Romo replacing Phil Simms. Yes, I know a lot of people have opinions on that. I'll give you mine. I really haven't shared mine to this point. I'll give you mine. In the second segment, I'll go over the state of Richard Sherman. There has been some swirling rumors of him being traded. And I'll let you know if the team is actually trying to shop him around or not. And finally, I'll get into a little bit of Masters talk at the end of the show. We are on the second day of the Masters. A couple hours in already. So, helicopter going over the studio. It's awesome. They're trying to find me, but I'm inside. Stay clear from helicopters. Stay inside. That's my public service announcement for today. So, as we know, the retirement, kind of, of Tony Romo was announced this week that he won't stay with the Cowboys. He plans on retiring, and then they released him. They released him this week, so he is not, his rights are no longer held by a team. He was offered and accepted the job to be the lead color analyst for CBS Sports, alongside Jim Nantz, which we know Jim Nantz and Phil Simms haven't always got along, haven't always meshed. So it's one of those things. So many people are saying it's so wrong that Phil Simms is losing his job that he spent, you know, what, 14 NFL seasons, 12 NFL seasons. How many is it? It's a bunch. Over a decade in the NFL. So he's losing Phil Simms has been 20 years in broadcasting. So he's losing his spot. Veteran broadcaster. Phil Simms is losing his spot for 20 years in broadcasting experience to a guy that is an inexperienced rookie. Has no broadcasting experience, professional broadcasting experience to note of. And he's going in as the number one guy. Number one, the lead color analyst. And I find just irony in that. Because Tony Romo literally just lost his job to an inexperienced rookie with no professional experience to be heard of. If you can't sit back and say, huh, that's kind of funny, then you have no sense of humor. Tony Romo is good on camera. He's good in interviews. He's fun to talk to. He's not shy about sharing things. He knows a lot about football. He's good interacting with people. So those are some of the things in broadcasting that you want to see. Now, what I sit here and I do and I talk to the camera and you guys listen to what I'm saying, it's much different than being on a set, in a studio, doing play-by-play, doing color commentary. It's very, very different. It's even more different than stuff like me being on the sidelines, getting in a quick bit as a reporter. It's even more different than that. And if there was just a radio, and that'd be even more different than that. So there's different setups and structures and ways that you go about it. Even when we see these pundit shows where you have everybody's an analyst and everybody's a pundit, for lack of a better word, they're giving you their opinions. These opinion based shows that we see where we have a bunch of ex-athletes and one broadcaster, and they just talk about the game. What do we want to see? Who are you predicting? Even that is different than what he's set up to do, much different than what I'm doing too. Anytime you have more than one person involved, there has to be a different level of communication. Obviously, with me, my communication is with, just who's here with me now, myself. That's it. I don't have somebody opposite of me. On Tuesday, I do. Me and Kevin work well together. We kind of have difference in opinions. Sometimes we are on different sides of the same side of the coin. So we agree on one thing, but how you come to that one thing is different. But we're both very analytical. We're both very, have that economist working in our head. As the way we look at different things from religion to politics to sports and stuff like that. So we work well together because we kind of understand each other's frame of mind, but we don't necessarily agree on anything or everything. So that's what makes it a little bit different, but we communicate with each other pretty well. And what we talk about seems to really resonate with you guys. So when I do my own stuff, I can just go on and talk about it. Now, with Tony Romo, I don't know how much experience he has with Jim Nantz and how many conversations he's had with Jim Nantz. My personal belief with Tony Romo is he should now spend lots of time with Jim Nantz, get to know Jim Nantz, know him on a personal level, create that familiarity and comfortability that he needs, and understand having conversations with him and listening and watch the tape. You guys laugh. Go ahead, laugh at it. Watch the tape. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a professional broadcaster, if you're a comedian, what it is, there are hits and spots and points in time where somebody has, they have inflection in a different way. Maybe you can, if you listen to people, There's a certain points of times where you know with the direction the game's going. You know when he likes to call first and 10. On first and 10, he may have a go-to little tidbit, a fact. In baseball, it's a lot different because usually the color commentators, play-by-play guys, alternate innings. First inning, second inning, first inning, or first inning, second inning, third inning, fourth inning. So they split it up like that. We call it, you know, Baker style. It's Baker style in bowling, for those of you that are bowlers. So you're not actually bowling or talking every single inning. Well, you may, but it's not your inning to talk. With the NFL, it's a bit different. They usually have a play-by-play guy who's going to tell you the down, the distance, and generally what's going on in the game. The color analyst is going to tell you formations that they're in, what you should look here, what the defense is going to do, what the offense is going to do, why that play works. And the play-by-play guy is going to tell you that what is happening in the play and without talking over each other. So, yeah, so what we generally hear pre-snap is the play-by-play guy setting it up, the color commentator saying, oh, I noticed this, watch for this. Play happens, play-by-play guy explains it. Then after it happens, the color guy is explaining what you just saw, why it did or didn't work, or what could be fixed. Where was this defense? Blown coverage here, you know. So that's the difference. That's the difference. The thing is, the color analyst is an important part of the game today, even more so because we, as fans, we seem to be more knowledgeable, more ingrained, and more in-depth into the sport. So to be able to have somebody to digest what we just saw and highlight why it was good is helpful. Again, it sounds like archaic type of thing, you know, saying, wow, this guy did this and he did it well. You just saw that. You just saw. This is what you just saw. That happened right now. Now we're going to do it again, but differently or the same. Oh, he did it and he did it better. You know, it's weird to think that that sort of thing is necessary, but it really is with lots of different things. So sports is probably the most notable thing, but each sport is different in the way that it's commentated. So Tony Romo, I don't expect him to come in and just do great. I wouldn't expect that. Should he do good? Hopefully. He's going to probably be in a situation where maybe he'll make some of those historic comments. You know, they make jokes about John Madden. Frank Caliendo does an enormously good spot-on impression. If you don't know who Frank Caliendo is by now, you're clearly living under a rock. You got to check it out. Mine isn't as good, but where John Madden would be like, if the flag is thrown and there's no mistakes, there's probably a penalty, which is true. He threw out a lot of things that were like, and he runs past the defender into the end zone, it's probably going to be a touchdown. Over the top, obvious sort of stuff. Phil Sims is known for saying some of the things like similar things like that, again, in joking. One of his famous lines is, for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward. Or it's a good time out for the Denver Broncos because the clock stopped. People make fun of him because of those things. And there's actually a whole Twitter page that has 40-some thousand followers that's called Phil Sims Quotes, which I don't follow, but I probably will after this. I like, there's one page out there I like. It's Sports Quotables, at Sports Quotables. That's my favorite sports quotes one, because it kind of ranges all over the place. So I like it. So go follow it. Good place. Free plug for them. But we're sitting back saying, okay, what's up with Phil Sims now? I mean, they dissed him. Well, we also have to understand that Phil Sims did something that had the scent of this. Maybe not just like this, but he did had something to the scent of this that he did to the way he treated ESPN. Now, in any industry, you know, when you break industries down into industries, industries are small. You are going to run into people on a semi-regular basis. It's just how it works. It's a small community, you know. I'm a big advocate of, you know, networking and getting along with people. How can I help you? And hopefully you can help me. I don't know. I'm more of the pay it forward. And when it's my turn for it to come back around, I'll catch it then. That's me. That's me. Maybe that's why I'm sitting here today and not on ESPN or on Fox or on CBS. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. That could be part of it. But that's who I am. That's my character. That's me. And if I move up and get some big pay out of it, great. If this is where I go, I'm going to grow this either way. You know, there's no, you know, if I'm paying for it, I'm growing it, my friend. So, but Phil Sims, he'll have jobs. He has 20 years of experience. I don't know if they'll drop him down to the second team. You know, with Greg Gumbel, they drop him down with Greg Gumbel. I don't know if they end up putting him on NFL Today. Tony Gonzalez is departing from that show, so I don't know where they might put him. They haven't clarified any of that. But he'll have a job there. I know from his agent was asked by Forbes, Steve Rosner, was asked by Forbes, and basically said, hey, he has a multiple years left on his contract with CBS. He didn't get fired. He's going to honor the contract from what they see, from what would they know now. Now, they can agree to dissolve that contract, and or he can go with a competitor and they'll absorb that contract, or they can determine if they want to release him or what. Again, everybody's contract is different. That's the odd thing about, you know, about some industries. Now, they say it's usually like a 90-10 rule. 10% of the people in any given industry make most of the money, and 90% or 80-20. So 80-20. So 20% in the industry make most of the money. The other 80% occupies most of the space. So I'm a space occupier because God knows I'm not making the money yet, but I'm up for it. Right? So we can't feel too bad for Phil Sims. Is it kind of blindsiding? Was it kind of like, wow, that sucks, man? I worked my way up to this point, and, you know, CBS made a business decision that thought they could get more viewers. They got somebody that's high in popularity, right out of the NFL that's good with people. He sounds good in interviews. Is he going to be good at analyzing? He's very knowledgeable. So kind of looking at the formula, not knowing what the answer is yet, because there's variables that we can't control, one would assume Tony Romo is going to be pretty decent. Maybe not at first, but eventually he'll be pretty decent. Will he be great? I don't know. There's not many guys that are great at any one thing. You know, look at the NBA. We talk about MVPs, which if you look at statistics and metrics and value proposition, like who's more efficient, you're going to look at Greg Harding. You know, you're looking at Harding. I'm sorry. It's been one of those days. Greg Harding. My bad. James Harden. You're going to look at James Harden. If you're looking at overall value to their team, just strictly value to their team, you have to look at Russell Westbrook as that guy. So many people are discounting the triple-double. Averaging a triple-double is tough. LeBron still hasn't averaged a triple-double for the season. I would argue that he hasn't cared to or wanted to or tried to. He's more he's working on team-building now. He wants more pieces around him, so he has to do less of the work. I'm not going to argue here, is LeBron the MVP every year? I mean, you could definitely make that argument. I'm not going to discount it. I'm going to say you could definitely make that argument. But any of those three guys, Steph Curry is actually having numbers statistically that's right up there with his previous MVP seasons and right up there with the three guys that we're already talking about. So had they won a title, would the writers and pundits and people with a vote, maybe are they going to be leaning more Steph Curry? Possibly. But he's right up there too. So those four guys in the NBA are really at the top of the NBA and are the guys that most people are looking at should they be the MVP. Those are really the four that I see. But not to really digress too much. But as far as Phil Simms goes, he's not out of a job. He's still going to make a whole lot of money no matter what. He could end up in a better situation. Life happens, you know, and we got to roll with it. My motto is life happens and you don't choose when. Phil Simms, life just happened. You didn't choose this. So you can, now it's your opportunity to influence it. You know, there's been times where I know something crappy has happened to me. And because that crap thing happened, I ended up in a better place than I was to begin with. And it might have been, you know, had I not been unintentionally or unwillfully removed or my course altered, I would not have had the same opportunities to be in a certain place. We never know exactly when things will happen. So, you know, if we just take this concept of thinking that we have control and just let it go, like the Disney song, what we can do is focus on what we really do have is influence, and just focus on influencing right now, because that's really all we can do. So I'm going to move on to the next topic. Richard Sherman, he is, in my opinion, probably the top cornerback in the league over the last 4 years. Four straight Pro Bowls, multiple All-Pros, multiple All-Pro teams, probably, like I said, the best cornerback in the game. He's the best at his position. He doesn't have the top-end speed. He does have reach. He does have a lot of instinct. He's able to use his football acumen and IQ to be able to be in the right places at the right time. and he's not little. Not little. Actually, it's funny. We were the other day, a little while back, rather, we were doing measurements and stuff, and I actually have pretty much the same measurements as him. He's just younger and more athletic and faster than me now, and actually a professional football player. And more money. I'm considered the top in his field by most everybody. But he's not on the air right now on this show. So I at least have that over Richard Sherman. That's called making lemons. No, lemonade. But not like Beyonce. I wouldn't make that kind of lemonade. Because I'm not mad at Jay-Z. But he's the best player on their team. He's a top player at his position in the NFL. And frankly, for them to sit back and consider trading him is a bit absurd. You don't take your best player and put him on the trade block. You find ways to bring him up and rally around him if you can. I mean, he does have, I mean, he signed a, what was it? He signed a 4-year, $56 million contract. Now, here's the thing. You know, he's looking at, on that contract, he had 10, 12, an average of about $11.5 million is what his average base salary is. Backing up with the signing bonus, total cap hit this year of 13.6, 13.2 next year. There's some dead money issues there. So for Capology, he doesn't work well with the team. So again, I understand that the contract that they have isn't in their favor unless he produces. He's been to 4 straight Pro Bowls, and it doesn't look like he's going to miss the next 2 anyways. So you have a Pro Bowl cornerback that can pretty much cut off half the field. It sounds like you have $13.6 and $13.2 million spent well between the next 2 years. I don't have an issue with his contract or what they're paying him, but for them to want to ship him off is kind of odd on their end. What don't they know? What don't we know? I mean, he's in the Pacific Northwest. He's in an area that is frankly fine with free speech. He's in a state that's legally they've legalized recreational and medical use of marijuana. And we're sitting here wondering, is it a speech thing? They don't want to hear that. No, it's not that. You know, he has a coach and a front office and a team that embrace the free speech, that embrace him doing things right now, frankly, that are setting up for his career after football. He writes for the Huffington Post. He writes for the Players Tribune, which is right here out of Tampa. By the way, Derek Jeter is interested. This is a little bit of tidbit I want to throw out there because talking about the Players Tribune, which he owns. He's, from what I've understood, is interested in buying a Major League Baseball team. I'm not saying it's the Rays. I'm not saying it's the Marlins or maybe it's someone else. I'm just saying that he's interested in owning a baseball team from what Dan from sources. I'll leave it there. Swirl that around how you want to. I'll leave it there. And that's called a tease. But Richard Sherman, if somebody picks him up, they're going to get good. They're going to be good at that position. They'll solidify a position by taking that on, that contract on. But here's the thing is, with having a max deal, being at that time the highest paid player at his position, and them wanting a first-round pick, they want a very good player, from what I've been told. They want a very good player and a first-round pick for Richard Sherman. That's a lot to ask out of a team. So you're losing a key asset, and you're losing a potentially key asset or high productive player because it's a first round pick. All those guys should make the roster and probably be starting in a year or two if you're in the first round. Hopefully you excel after that, but you know, it's that's giving up quite a bit. So that's productivity, that's potential, you know. I mean, we can look at the Jones, the Chandler Jones trade between the Patriots. I talked about this on the show a few weeks back when the Patriots traded Chandler Jones away for Cooper, an offensive tackle who didn't pan out. They ended up cutting. They ended up also getting two draft picks, one of which it was an offensive lineman who's worked out really well for them. So it was still a win-win for both sides. Now, in this, the rumors are the Patriots are interested in trading for him. Now, he has 2 years left on the deal. Now, they paid Darrell Revis, I think it was $20 million for 1 year. They took that. They decided for 1 year to pay him that. So is it unheard of for them to pay this money for him? If they don't retain Malcolm Butler, they could. But I've heard mixed reports on are they or aren't they interested in him. The Patriots before the draft are not going to tell you exactly who they're interested in because they don't want you wondering or thinking about who they're going to draft. You know, it's silly season. It's smoke and mirrors. Are they interested in him? Obviously, who isn't interested in having him? But at what price? What are they willing to give up? I don't know. So that's stuff we have to watch and wait and see what's going to happen there. But he may be a high level of currency they have, but I don't think that's the piece you want to trade away. He's not the piece you want to trade away. So you can look in other directions and ways, ask them to restructure because that makes more sense. You can still guarantee him the same amount of money, all right? You can still guarantee him the same amount of money and it not be in salary or signing bonus, which are the two things that that hit the cap. You could just say no signing bonus. Maybe there is a workout bonus that is equal to $7 million that's due on day one. I don't know. Kind of sounds like a signing bonus to me. I don't know. What do I know? They can restructure that. They can give him the same guaranteed money or more to restructure and take less of a cap hit and keep him. Think about it. All right. Closing out the show today. For those of you that didn't know, Dustin Johnson, who was favored by Vegas and a lot of people to win the Masters tournament this weekend in Augusta, Georgia, has been dealing with quite a bit of their own weather and rain and, you know, tornadoes. I'm from Nebraska. I'm not all that unfamiliar with tornadoes. But he withdrew from the tournament yesterday. He had a 2 p.m. tee time the day prior. He had fell down on, been kind of mixed reports, fell down stairs or on stairs and hurt his back. Now I've had some few people who was asking me or talking to me about he's taking the cortisone. Most people say injections, but this is an oral cortisone, which is different. Now, and I did talk to several different practitioners about this to gain a better understanding. So the oral form will allow for more widespread use. And if it's taken properly, it should give him within a couple days, it should give him a week or two of where he's not having to deal with the pain and rigors of that. Whereas the injection numbs the area. Okay. So So same thing, injection versus oral and how it works. So the oral form that they were hoping he would be able to be to a point to where he'd be able to warm up and loosen up and stay loose and not have to deal with any of the pain or rigors of the injury for at least the tournament. Okay. Now, it being the night before changes a lot. Like I said, one of the physicians I talked to, one of his NFL guys, you know, took the oral a couple days before. And then again, it was worked great for 2 weeks. So that's the thing. Everybody's body is different, and how you're going to react to things are going to be different. So it's not something to where it's not going to work. So would he go off next week or in the next 2 weeks? Maybe, probably, I don't know. But it's something to keep an eye on. As far as the Masters tournament goes, I know it's funny. I was listening to a broadcast this morning, and people, I've seen the fans and people in the media, not like uber golf fans, but the casual fan and people in the media. I'll include myself, are fans of Tiger Woods. So I heard someone ask, they were talking to, an individual that was covering that was part of the Masters this weekend. They said, is there a lot of buzz or talk about Tiger Woods? And he was like, no, not at all. But we have to understand, as casual fans and media, just because we're drawn to something doesn't mean somebody else is too. This notion that because you like it, other people will, it's not always true. We have to understand that. Tiger Woods is probably the most notable, recognizable golfer of this generation. He's single-handedly elevated the level of golf from a spectator point of view and have driven probably more people into the game of golf than probably people before him. He has been a trendsetter. We can't deny that. Can't deny that at all. Him wanting to come back and play, not impossible. Could he hit his records? It's going to be tough. At this point, I wouldn't bet that he does. But I'm not going to count out Tiger Woods. You know, golf's just one of those games. I mean, I was in the Villages just a couple weeks ago. I mean, I followed the Daily Sun as well. I mean, this is a community that's 55 plus, and almost all they do is golf. I mean, this is a community where most people own a golf cart, and these are some swagged up golf carts. I mean, there's golf carts that looks like Rolls Royces. I saw one that was a Seminoles golf cart. They just pimp it out. I haven't seen Bubba Watson's hover cart yet. I want to see that. I want to get on that. That has to be flipping awesome. It's like having a bumper car you can drive everywhere. You know, I imagine that's what it would be like. I don't know. But no, Tiger Woods isn't there. There's not a buzz about Tiger Woods. They're focused on the guys that are playing. They were focused on, is Dustin Johnson going to be able to play? Because he's won 3 straight tournaments, and he's the favorite coming in. And now he had to withdraw because of injury. So what will happen with him moving forward? That's the question. That's the buzz. Who's going to win this week now that he's out? You know, Jordan Spieth, can he win it again? You know, is Rory McIlroy going to show up, or is this his year off? I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting to see where they finish up. You can head on over to I get all my updates on the Golf Channel. So I'd say head over there, keep an eye on them. We got a today. A couple more days left of this tournament. It's probably going to be a very interesting one because of wind and inclement weather. So it's tough to judge favorites. So, but that's all for me today. Thank you for tuning in to The Half. Go over to the website, thechtonsports.com. Read the articles. Click on the listen link. Listen to this show and all of our other shows that you can hear on the network, either over on Blog Talk Radio on the Go Along Media channel, or over on Spreaker, on SoundCloud, on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. If you're not on YouTube, go to YouTube and subscribe. Where else? iTunes. Did I say iTunes? SoundCloud. A bunch of places. Hopefully here in the next couple months, we'll be able to have it on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio as well. So we're looking forward to growing the show, growing this channel. If you are a fan, a broadcaster, a writer, someone that loves sports, news, fitness, entertainment, and you're interested in getting involved, just go over to Facebook at TheCHT on Sports and direct message us over there on Facebook. And we'll either myself or someone will get back to you if you're interested in joining the team and learning some more how you can contribute. So, but that's all for me today. I'm out. I'm headed to Lincoln, Nebraska. My grandmother turns 98. Yes, 98. It's crazy. So, Lincoln, I'm on my way. I'm out.